Help us to understand our place in this world of yours, and help us to know you and to see what it would mean for us to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're just dipping into a couple of verses in the fourth chapter of 1 Chronicles. This is a little brief account of a man called Jabez. Let me read these words. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Vincent van Gogh was a man who lived a tormented life. Describing himself, he called himself a suffering creature. I wonder how you would describe yourself. I hope that wouldn't be your description of yourself, but it might be, depending on your situation. He called himself a suffering creature. Or think about how Charles Darwin spoke about life in this world. He cried out, "There is too much misery in this world. There's too much misery in this world." He said that as he cared for his daughter who was sick. "It shouldn't be like this," he was saying. And yet it is. Or I was walking through Tesco's just the other day, saw a new book by girls band singer Sarah Harding. And she's younger than me, and she writes knowing that she probably won't see another Christmas.
After the early signs of cancer were missed due to the pandemic. Time and again through the past year, our weakness has been thrust in our faces, hasn't it? And yet still, if you're anything like me, we do whatever we can to try and keep thinking about suffering and the experience of it at arm's length from ourselves. It makes sense that we would do that. And yet what we're going to see here as we look at this account of Jabez is that we are a suffering people, human beings in general terms, and those of us who would call ourselves Christians, we are suffering people too. We've got this page from the Bible open in front of us, and this account of a man called Jabez. This book, 1 and 2 Chronicles, is one of the Bible's history books. It records events here that happened about 3,000 years ago. And it's just our normal practice that week by week we work our way through the pages of the Bible, through the books of the Bible, to say, what does this say? We're not setting our own agenda, we're asking God to do that for us. And so this term, over 11 weeks, we're going to look at the 65 chapters of these two books, High Altitude Flyby, just looking at big themes and contours in the landscape, really. We'll say a lot more about the shape and the structure of these books next Sunday. But we're beginning just with this two-verse account, a little preview of what's to come. This guy, Jabez, is typical of many other figures that we'll meet in the rest of this term. And he's written about in the middle of an extensive genealogy, an assembly together of all humanity, beginning with Adam at the beginning, and running through to Israel's return from exile in 539 BC. And as all people are gathered together, his story's there. Now, I don't know about you, but books of lists of names perhaps aren't the most exciting thing that we could find ourselves looking at. We speak in our culture, don't we, of how reading the phone book is not a particularly interesting thing to do. And yet I think as we look at these lists of names here, it's a little more like scrolling through your Facebook feed. Of course, you scroll past most people's names because there's nothing interesting there. But then once in a while, there's a photograph. Or there's some erudite words, and they catch your attention, and they warrant a response, a like, or a care. Well, Jabez is like that. He stands out. Most people's story isn't told here, but his is. Well, what's going on with him? Three things I think we can note as we look at him. The first is this, that we're born in pain. We're born in pain. Baby names have significance. When parents name their children, I don't know how much this was the case for Callum and Heidi this last week, when they call their son Caleb. That's a name that means wholehearted. Well, here we find this man's mother called him Jabez. And she called him that because he was born in pain. I gave birth to him in pain, she said. And Jabez is a name that means pain. I don't think it's a particularly popular name today. But picture him every day as he goes to his local primary school. And the register is read, Pain, are you here? Here I am, pain is here. It defines his life day after day. Now, the opening pages of the Bible, if we were to turn and look at them, they tell us what experience has made obvious, that women give birth to children in pain. And that's what his mother says. And yet Jabez's arrival in the world is especially noted for its painfulness. Most mothers don't call their child pain. There's something more about his birth that is particularly painful, although we're not told what that is. But his mother marks that the birth was painful, that there is going to be pain in his life as he grows up. But notice that we can't look at him and say, well, don't good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people? Jabez's story isn't that cruel counsel of karma. The kind of thing that feels good if you're doing all right in life. If your circumstances are good, then the idea that good things happen to good people works, doesn't it? And yet it's horrible when things turn bad. Because then, well, it must be your fault, mustn't it? Jabez refutes the whole idea of karma. We only get 63 words written about him here, and yet they tell us he was a good man who suffered. He was an honourable man, at least compared to his brothers. Now, Jabez flips the question for us. He gets us to ask this: why do bad things happen to good people? Why is this happening to him? Now, we don't get a complete answer here, but the beginning of the answer is surely this, that Jabez is a child of a cursed world, where even the beauty of new life, of a baby being born, is marked with agony. Jabez makes us face the reality that even the best people in this world suffer. He's authentic, he's honest in that way. To see Jabez is not to bury your head in the sand and pretend everything's easy in this life. No, with Jabez, we don't have to pretend that acute pain doesn't happen or that chronic pain isn't real in our lives or within a church family or within our society more widely. No, we are born in pain. That's the first thing that Jabez's story shows us. And diagnosis is helpful. And if that was all we could say, that would be rather bleak, wouldn't it? Now, we are born in pain, but we can say something more. And the second thing we can say is this: we can cry to God. And do you notice that this man of sorrows here responded to his pain by crying out to God? Sometimes when life is hard, we dig deep and we try and get through. Because to ask for help is the last thing that we want to do. We don't want to show weakness, which is understandable, isn't it? Other times, pain leaves us unable to speak or even to think clearly, even to ask for help. Now, someone comes well-meaning and says, how can I help you? And we say, I have no idea. Very often, we just need someone to come and be with us, to sit, to weep, perhaps to meet some immediate practical need, but we don't know what it is we need. If they provide a meal or some housework, that helps, but we couldn't say that's what we need because pain just fogs everything. Jabez, I think, would agree with that, but he indicates there's a further response, not necessarily the first response we'd make. There's a sense of life has passed a bit for Jabez before he prays this prayer. He's able to reflect on his situation. He gives us a further response. He says we can cry to God. Of course, you and I would only cry to God if we think God might help those who are in need. If we expect that God would point the finger, that he would be cruel and heartless and against us, well, then we probably won't want to turn to him. Sometimes we might think God will help the needy. Or perhaps we find ourselves thinking God helps those who help themselves. I think experience shows us whatever we think about God, people tell us, research shows, that in times of struggle, people do pray. They cry out to God. Of course, the question then is this, isn't it? To who? Who is it you cry out to when you can't get through the day, when it's another hard day? Well, look at Jabez. We can see who he cries to. Which God is it he speaks to? He speaks to the God of Israel. He knew the God of Israel, and he cried out to the God of his ancestor, Israel, a man whose name meant wrestles with God, because that's what he did. The God of Israel who helps the needy, the lost, those who are walking in darkness, those who are struggling, those who feel overwhelmed. Sometimes people callously mock Christian faith as being a crutch for the weak. I think I've learned over many years that I am weak. I don't like to admit that, but I'm learning that that's the case. Now, sometimes it's taken situations of acute hardship, often at a hospital bedside, to learn that I'm weak. Other times to see the chronic pain in the lives of those that I love, to lay down my sense that I can press through this, that I can do this. And I know I'm not the only person who's ever had to learn that lesson. Christianity says our best prayer is our helplessness. It's to say, I can't, but God can. And we see that in the pages of the Bible. We see it in the Bible book of Psalms. Poems and prayers that express turmoil and agony and inability and trust in God. Prayers like Psalm 23 cried out from the valley of the shadow of death. And prayers like that, prayers like the one that Jabez prays here, mean that Jabez is no intimidating religious figure. He's not praying pompous prayers to somehow make himself look good and us feel inferior. Now, this honourable man of sorrows responds to the darkness in his world by asking for help. And in doing that, he teaches suffering creatures like us where to go, to turn with him to the God of Israel. Now, have a look with me at the prayer he prays. He prays this: oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I'll be free from pain. You hear the things he's asking? He wants God to be with him, to protect him from harm. It's a relational prayer. It's a humble prayer. It's a prayer that says God cares. It's a prayer that says, I want God and I can't deal with this myself. He also prays this for an enlarged territory and for freedom from pain. That sounds like a very 21st century kind of thing to pray, doesn't it? It sounds to me something like this: oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Show me you love me and buy the next round. Is that how Jabez sees God, his ATM in heaven? Is Jabez answering the phone and saying, Capital, give me the cash? That shouldn't sound right, and it isn't. But we need to do a little bit of work here. When we read the New Testament in the Bible, it's very straightforward most of the time to see that it's speaking to people in the same situation as us. But Jabez is a long time ago in a slightly different world. So we need to see how it makes a difference that he's part of this Old Testament Israel. Jabez knew God as the God of Israel. And the Old Testament in the Bible tells us that God gave himself to this seemingly insignificant group of people. He rescued them from slavery in Egypt around 1500 BC and then gave them a patch of land in the Middle East where they could live and where they could have relationship with him. And he told them that if they trusted him, then they would prosper. But if they turned away from him, life would get harder. And frequently, as we'll see as we read through 1 and 2 Chronicles, their hearts wandered away. They loved other gods instead. And knowing that that would happen, he warned them. He told them that rebellion against him would mean they'd find themselves at war with other nations, that weather would come that would destroy their agricultural economy. And yet, even in those worst moments, if they turned back to God, they would prosper again. And history says, like us, they were often very slow to turn back. What all that meant was that in Jabez's day, material prosperity was the visible sign of God's blessing. That's just not the case now. 3,000 years later, we worship the very same God of Israel, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But now God's people are not just a single people group living in a small patch of land, a people for whom war and weather can be significant. Now, the church today is a multi-ethnic people, from Jews and from other people groups scattered among all the nations of the world. And so you can't read our trust in God from wars and the weather. Jesus said that his Father sends the Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We all live in the same world. All of which means Christians don't expect life without trouble. We can go and we can ask God for relief, and yet we say we follow a suffering Saviour. So we don't expect an easy ride. To ask today for an enlarged territory is much more about asking Jesus' kingdom to grow in this world, by asking God, would people come to know you, to trust you, to find life in you? And Jesus, would you come back and make this whole world new so that we can share in living in it with you? Now, on the day when every tear will be wiped away, when all the sad things will come untrue, and when more will be mended than we can know. We're praying like Jabez if we pray for people to come to know Jesus. The kind of prayer we might have prayed for Sarah, that she would come to trust in him as she has. And as we pray for Jesus to come back and live here with us, we can cry to God. That's the second thing. Here's the third thing, last thing to say. It's this, that we can be helped by God. You can see that the last words that are written about Jabez, and God granted his request. Here is good news. Suffering creatures can be helped. Now, does that mean that every prayer that anyone prays will be answered as yes? No, it doesn't mean that. You don't need to pray for long to experience unanswered prayer. But there is prayer that God will always say yes to. And again, we need to just clock the differences between our situation and that of Jabez. Life in the Old Testament was like a model village lived on the pages of history, where everything was a picture and a pattern pointing forward to the coming of Jesus into this world. And that's the case when we look at this Jabez. In this chapter about Jabez, we're told that he came from the royal tribe of Judah. The first verse of the chapter tells us that. Centuries later, Jesus himself would come from that same tribe and be called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jabez points us to Jesus. We know here that Jabez was an honourable man among his brothers, just as Jesus was the ideal brother, better than any other brother, the one who would lay his life down for his brothers. Jabez was born in pain. Jesus was called the Man of Sorrows, who by his death crushed evil. Jabez was lifted up from his suffering when his prayer was granted. So too Jesus was raised from the dead. As Jabez's request was granted, so Jesus' prayer was granted. We've got loads of records of Jesus praying in the eyewitness accounts of his life. And at the end of those, at the climax of them, we find him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was mentioned in the first song that we heard. There he's anguished. He's facing the prospect of being crucified the next day. And he asks his Father, can this cup pass from me? Can I avoid this horror of suffering that is ahead of me tomorrow? The Bible tells us Jesus' prayer was heard. Not that he would avoid death, but that he was raised on the third day from death. That was God granting his request, just perhaps not the way we might have expected. And it's this Jesus who is why suffering creatures can pray. We can ask the God of Israel to spare us from the judgment that we deserve. And God will grant our request because Jesus faced that judgment in our place. We can ask Jesus to be our Savior and God will grant our request. We can ask God for help and God will rescue us. All who come to be baptized tell that story. Once I was lost, now I'm found in Jesus. Once I was dead, now I'm alive in Jesus. See, to be a Christian is not to be free from suffering today. No, like Jabez, we are born as suffering creatures. And Christians have no immunity to the kind of torment and loss and disease that Van Gogh and Darwin and Sarah Harding know. You might have a Mercedes-Benz or a good career or relationships or influence, or you might have none of those things. Death and suffering come to all of us. Which might make us ask, well, what then is the point of being Christian if it doesn't make any difference to any of those things? It's this. that for richer or poorer, in sickness or in health, now and in the age to come, the Christian gets Jesus. And he's always with us. That was the heart of the prayer that Jabez was praying, that he would know the blessing of God. We all breathe the same air, but the Christian's life gets inextricably tied in with the life of the triune God. And so to God, a Christian looks like Jesus, given right standing and relationship with God. To God, a Christian sounds like Jesus because the Holy Spirit has been given to them and cries out from them to say, this is one of your children. To God, a Christian is given adoption and belongs in God's family. And that's what baptism is about. It's a physical, tangible, wet demonstration of spiritual reality in which suffering creatures are wrapped up in and filled up with the life of God, buried with Jesus in his death, to be raised up with Jesus when he returns for all his people in his world. Jabez teaches us that Jesus is good news for suffering people in a suffering world, good news for suffering creatures like me and like you. I'm going to pray for us, and then the band will lead us in another song. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this account of Jabez. Thank you for the reality of a suffering man. Thank you that we can tell the truth about life in this world. Thank you that he shows us that we can cry out to you. Thank you that all who call out to you to be saved by you, to come to know you, will be heard. Father, in your goodness, because of your Son Jesus, grant us that request, that we would be people who know you. Amen.